Good afternoon, everyone. I call this meeting of the Senate Education Committee to order. It is 1:04 p.m. on Monday, February 6th. We are in the Senate Finance Committee room of the State Capitol in Juneau. I will ask everyone to please mute their cell phones as we have a full audience today. Member presidents are President Stevens, Senator Jesse Keel, Senator Jesse Bjorkman, and Senator L.B. Gray Jackson, and myself, Senator Lukey Gale Tobin. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Other legislators present is Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunbar, and I think that is it for this moment. Hopefully, as folks come in, I'll get a note to ensure that I introduce you as well. I want to thank our moderator today, Sydney, and our recorder, Mary Gwen. Once again, if you could please write your name on the sign-in sheet so we have a record of everyone who's going to testify today. Today, we are holding a special meeting to hear from our school board members and students from across Alaska. I, for one, am looking forward to the testimony. This meeting is being held in conjunction with the Legislative Fly-In, the Leadership Academy, and the Youth Advocacy Institute, sponsored by the Association of Alaska School Boards. Before we begin, on behalf of the members of the Senate Education Committee, I would like to thank everyone on behalf of all their work for our local schools and in support of Alaska's children and young adults. My plan today is to invite school board members and their students to come up in small groups to testify. As a reminder, I please ask for you to keep your comments civil and to not impugn the motives or characters of the members of this committee or of anyone else in the Alaska State Legislature. I also would like to ask you to put yourself on the record, speak clearly, and state your name and school district you are coming from to testify in support of. With that, I would also like to thank Senator Olson for joining us. And I'm going to invite our very first group from Kodiak Island Borough School District to come to testify. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready. I would like to indicate that you have approximately 5 minutes for your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Tobin. My name is Dave Johnson, and with me is Nora Saltonstall, our student rep from the Kodiak Island Borough Board of Education. Good afternoon, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak to this committee. My name is Dave Johnson. I'm the president of the Kodiak Island Borough Board of Education. My grandfather served in the Aleutian campaign with the Coast Guard in World War II. Following the war, he moved with his siblings and new wife to Alaska to raise his family. He was here in Juneau during the push for statehood and was honored by this body with a proclamation honoring his service to the state when he passed away. I too spent a career in the Coast Guard, which also brought me back to Alaska, namely Kodiak. Now that I've retired from service, I intend to raise my family in Alaska as well. But a lot has changed in my beloved state since I graduated high school in 1997. Growing up in Seward, there was not a single instance where I had a classroom teacher who was new to the profession. Today in Kodiak, 40% of the teachers at my children's elementary school have less than 2 years' experience. Throughout our district, one-third of our classroom teachers have less than 5 years of experience. Between low wages and a non-existent retirement benefit, we are suffering from educational tourism. Teachers come to our state for 5 years or less and then leave, not because they want to leave, because they can't afford to stay. I remember as a kid, we all thought the neighbors down the street were rich because they were both experienced teachers, and we realized that between the two of them, they made about $160,000 a year. Adjusted for inflation, that's $355,000 today. While I can only represent the Kodiak Island Borough School District, I'm quite confident my colleagues from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District would tell you that no teaching couple there makes $355,000. Not only do we suffer from lack of experience, the constant churn has a significant financial impact as well. The Society for Human Resource Management estimates the turnover of salary employees to cost between 50 and 200% of the base salary of said employee. I ran for a seat on the Board of Education because I want my children to have the same opportunities that I had growing up. I was certain that if I brought my managerial expertise and fiscal conservatism to the board, once I got a peek behind that curtain, I would be able to provide the increased salaries our teachers need just by trimming the fat and ridding the district of the unnecessary admin burden that we were all convinced exists. Despite my very best efforts, I've yet to find a way to cut some combination of non-instructional positions district-wide that would balance our $4 million deficit. much less provide raises of any substance to our teachers. During the same period where the consumer price index has risen 14%, we've only been able to provide a 2% salary increase to our staff. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. During the same time, the BSA has increased only 0.5%, as I'm sure you are all aware. We are doing everything we can to keep these problems from touching the children themselves that we are all here to support. We are incredibly proud of our Grow Your Own program, which we have leveraged our local talent into new staff for our schools. Our recruiting staff has found 9 teachers from the Philippines who have closed a critical gap in instruction this year, while bringing a fresh perspective to our diverse community. We have made difficult cuts to discretionary budgets to keep our overall budget growth at 0 the last 3 years outside of the salary and utility funds. While I look at these accomplishments with pride, I long for a day where we no longer have to rely on a teacher's ability to live with their parents to afford to live in our community. I've heard it said that Senate Bill 52 is the starting point for the negotiation. My sincere hope is by starting point, it means the absolute lowest number you are willing to settle for. Just to keep pace with inflation, the BSA would need to be $7,153 to provide the same spending power our districts had back in 2017. This does nothing to address the recruitment and retention, mental health and achievement gaps we are fighting to close. I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunities in life granted to me, many of which stemmed from the public education I received here in the state of Alaska. I think it is our charge as leaders to reach a hand down the ladder and help the next generation climb it, not to pull it up behind us. Thank you for your time. I would now like to introduce Nora Saltonstall, our student representative to the Kodiak Island Board of Education.
Hello. I'm reading a letter from my student council back at Kodiak High School. To our Alaska legislation, rural communities are all too familiar with the challenges schools face to educate all students with limited resources. We write to you today to encourage you to do all in your power to support our Alaskan students. Our schools are faced with staffing shortages, facility challenges, and limited resources. There are literally no incentives for new teachers to stay nor come to our state because of the exorbitant cost of living and inadequate salaries and benefits and virtually non-existent retirement. This constant revolving door of educators does not provide consistency in our schools, and our students suffer from this instability. Districts are being forced to make difficult decisions regarding curriculum, providing obligatory student services, building maintenance, utilities, and more. Living in a rural community, professional development, sports and activity travel, and trainings are inherently more expensive than in urban settings. Our district does really well leveraging technology to help with some challenges, but as we know coming out of the pandemic, face-to-face interactions are more meaningful and effective. Some may say throwing more money at the problem isn't the solution. We would agree. However, the thing is, we haven't been throwing money, and the problems of education as the BSA hasn't changed since 2017. Schools are being forced to close statewide. Please support our schools. Please support our students. Please support our future. We thank you for your service to our state. May you keep in mind the future of our schools through your continued service. Sincerely, Kodiak High School Student Government. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Are there any questions from the committee? Thank you very much for coming and testifying before the committee today.
Thank you. Good job.
I would just once again like to invite any of our legislators here in the room to come sit with us at the table. We don't bite. All right, next up is the Bristol Bay region. We have several different schools going to be represented today. We have the Bristol Bay School District, the Southwest Region School District, the Lake M. Penn School District, and the Dillingham School District. Thank you for joining us. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hello, my name is Shannon Johnson. I'm a parent and school board member with the Lake and Peninsula School District. And good afternoon, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senators, for being here today. And today I'm here with, we're four powerhouse school districts. We have Bristol Bay, We have Southwest and we have Dillingham here together, and I'll be sharing about our CTE program. Together in partnership, we formed the BBRCTE. We have served over 300 students last year with engaging career and technical education coursework. Many of these students complete their programs with professional certifications, college credit, and most importantly, a better idea of the many opportunities that they have ahead of them. They are workforce ready with soft skills, and they are empowered. This school year, we are seeing a strong increase in students that want to participate in our coursework and are currently only able to seat about 30% of students. And these ones are they're active, they're motivated. And one example I wanted to share is we had 200 applicants for 60 positions. So that's kind of hard when we have to turn down students that because we just can't take them. The bulk of our program funding is based on a three-year federal grant cycle, and we are looking for ways to create a more sustainable funding model. One limitation to how many students we can seat is based on our available dorm space. BBRCT financial priorities to support and grow our programs are as follows. Number one, add sustainable funding for our intensive residential learning program through statewide funding. Number two, expand and develop dorm facilities through completion of the half-built BBSD dorm facility, purchase or renovation of a Dillingham dorm facility. Together, we continue to be accountable, and we appreciate your unanimous support of SB 52. We support your time today. Thank you for coming together. We support what you are doing and for all of the state of Alaska. We are all accountable for our most precious resource, and that is our children. Voyana Ana Base Chinan.
I'm Rebecca Hammond from Bristol Bay School District. I live in King Salmon, and I'm a proud member of the coalition that we put together, working together as school districts to meet needs that we saw were not being met through the regular system. As a school board member, I'd like to bring before you a particular issue that we struggle with. We've been entrusted with the task of making the best possible decisions for our children and our community, and children are our most precious resource, as we just heard. And our children, a lot of times we measure them by test scores or counts or how many dollars per child, but I'd like to talk about the whole child. And the whole child is a lot more than that. There's a big story behind every child. And the whole child is what I'd like to draw our focus to right now. I'm going to share a couple of statistics with you. 59% of adult women in Alaska have experienced sexual violence in their lifetime. One in three women and one in four men have experienced physical violence in their homes. 84% of Native women experience violence during their lifetime. And those are Alaska statistics, but in our borough specifically, 25% of our children in our school are either in foster care today or they have been in this last year. They've been placed in our community by the state, but there are no resources locally given to us to deal with this population and their needs. There are no local counselors for these children. Often they move to our community and just simply age out of the system in our community with no available resources. That's a burden that we carry every day. And those statistics represent all these stories of these children's lives who have been impacted. And along with their backpack and their snow pants and their gym shoes, they're carrying to school these burdens. And usually the only resource to deal with those burdens are our teachers, who are ill-equipped for that task. They've already got a lot on their plates because over the years we have cut back and cut back and cut back to the point where we just have very, very bare bones of, and now we're putting that burden on our teachers as well. And layers of current and historical trauma just really can't be healed by a special curriculum or a test. And we're asking our children to shine academically and show us better test scores, but we're ignoring emotional wounds. And so my dream is that mental health would be really important in the school system. It would be treated as we treat physical health. where it's attended to from the very first day of a child's life all the way through their life, that mental health would be cared for, and that it wouldn't be just an extra if we happen to have a counselor in our school or a nurse, but that this someone in the mental health profession would be an integral part of our staff, something that we absolutely can't do without. And in the good news for Bristol Bay, we have two social emotional learning coaches that we've hired, and we have a school nurse. But both of these are only because of outside grants that were facilitated by our local clinic and other entities. And of course, grants by nature are temporary. They assume that we're going to go looking for permanent funding for that. And so they're not going to be with us forever. And so for every year that the BSA has not kept up with inflation, we've steadily lost all our many basic programs and services that I would never have dreamed that schools could say that they could live without or students could live without. Every additional cut forward is affecting directly our children. I've heard many times that we're too heavy with an administration, but I can tell you for sure that is not our case. We have exactly two people that are like running an entire organization. And so we would really, really like to support any efforts. We support that you're coming forward with SB 52. It's a good beginning, and I'm thanking you so much for your time and all your hard work.
Thank you. I just want to recognize that Senator Klayman has joined us.
Hi, I'm Ferdinand Sharp, and I'm with the Southwest Region School District. What I'd like to share is a story of a grandchild. This summer, a grandchild came with another grandchild carrying a little bucket with a glass cleaner. So the grandma welcomed them and said, what are you going to do? And they said, they want to clean our windows. So the grandma welcomed them, cleaned our windows inside and outside. And after they were done, the grandma asked, what do I owe you? And the boy said, 2 quarters. Only 2 quarters? How about if I give you 4 quarters? And how much is 4 quarters? And he said, $1. So that's what happened. So the next time that same grandson came in contact with us was when we went out to front of our village and we fished for smelts. So he came and he saw how much we caught, and then he fished right by us and he caught one, and it was much bigger than what we caught. So he gave that big fish to me, and I asked him, how come you gave that to me? Because what you caught is too small. So our grandson was telling us is what's going on right now. Our teachers are serving us, and what we're asking is they deserve more than what we pay the teachers that come to educate our children, and they deserve that. So I thank you for this opportunity, and I always keep you always in our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is John Klaus. I'm a school board member from the Dillingham community, Dillingham City School District, and I'm excited to be working with the four districts. We've got a really great collaborative relationship that has really provided a lot of opportunities for our students regionally. I'd like to first thank you for your work to address the critical issues of education regarding funding. The $1,000 increase in Senate Bill 52 is a great start, and to get us back to baseline funding and to address the significant increases to fixed costs that are unfortunately starting to affect staffing levels and educational programs. And the fixed costs that I'm referring to that we talked about as a group is utilities and shipping, pupil transportation, insurance costs, the costs for food service and heating fuel. The reality is our districts have been and continue to face reducing positions and programs just to address the crisis of our fixed cost increases. Examples are insurance premiums that have gone up between 10 and 18% in the last 3 years. It costs roughly 1.5 times to ship out the goods based on the value of the goods. So $200 of goods would cost, you know, $300 to ship out. Student transportation is currently running in a deficit and is predicted to double next year. In one particular instance, there were 4 positions cut to get to $500,000 reduction, only for that to be consumed by a $780,000 increase in fuel for our school district. And so those are just kind of the realities out in our area for the 4 school districts that are working together. The $1,000 increase also allows school districts to entertain the possibility of addressing the wages and benefit concerns that we have. Our current wage scales aren't competitive with other states, and at some levels don't even provide an adequate living wage for a number of our teachers. And then housing shortages and the cost of housing and has become a concern as well. An example to that is one particular school district offered 6 contracts to really good candidates, and they turned them down because of not able to find housing or not able to find affordable housing in our communities. And so just to recap, this is an incredible group I think we have here, our districts working together. We're collaborating on regional projects, but we're all facing the similar challenges of our mental health needs for our students, getting back to a baseline funding so that we can address the fixed costs and really start having conversations about educational programs and preschool and providing quality education, and not have to center our conversations about what are we cutting so we can pay our heating fuel costs. Thank you for your time.
Thank you
so
questions.
Much.
Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have a question, but I just want to say, number one, thank you for your testimony, and thank you so much for bringing up mental health education in schools. That is so important, in addition to increasing the BSA. And during the last session, Representative Klayman and I have bills to require mental health education in schools, and my bill, SB 80, almost made it to the finish line. But I want to go on the record today saying that I anticipate the bill this session making it to the finish line, because it is so incredibly important for our kids to have that education, mental health education in schools. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other questions from the committee? Thank you very much. Welcome, Senator Welikowski. Now up, we have the Sitka School District. As you come to the dais, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready. I do want to do a time check as we are at 1:30. And we have about 10 more schools, so if folks could just keep that in mind.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Senate Education Committee. My name is Frank Hauser. I'm the superintendent of the Sitka School District. I want to thank the committee for their support of public education with the introduction of SB 52, increased base student allocation. In my district, even with stabilizing enrollment, we are currently facing a $2.8 million deficit, which represents over 12% of our budget. I'm here today to voice my support for SB 52, but more importantly, to support my students providing testimony. I'm now going to turn it over to them.
I am, Madam Chair, I am Edward Richards. I'm from the Sitka School District representing Sitka High School. I'm here to advocate today for Senate Bill 52 and, more importantly, increasing the BSA. I think it's very important to increase the BSA because mental health is the main thing I advocate or support. I went through a pretty rough patch my sophomore and freshman year, and I had to go outside of school to see a therapist. It was a good 2 months, but more importantly, there's a lot of kids who don't have that access to outside help, and I think it's important to provide that help through our schooling system. There are families out there that are less fortunate and can't afford an outside therapist and have to find that through our schools. And if we can't provide that to them, then it's going to result in tragedy. And it is a pandemic right now. Our mental health crisis and mental health education is also something that is needed overall.
Hello, my name is Felix Myers. I'm also from the Sinkus School District. I'd first like to say thank you for allowing us to testify today, and I will be also addressing Senate Bill 52 and a BSA increase. But first, I'd like to put these numbers into context. When we look at calculations adjusted for inflation using the Bureau of Labor calculator, if we were to increase the BSA and fund education to the level of 2009, we would have to increase the BSA by $2,200. If we wanted to increase the BSA to the level of 2012, we'd have to increase it over $1,700. And if we wanted to increase it to the rate of 2017, the last significant increase, we would have to increase the BSA to over $1,300. What we are talking about today in a BSA increase of $1,000, and the question we are asking ourselves, is not do we fully fund education? The question is, how much do we underfund education by? And there's three main reasons why it's essential to look at this issue. Firstly, we need to look at what is lost when we don't have enough money in our deficit and we start cutting teachers. At the high school, we are now down in Sitka, we are now down to the bare bones, as many others have testified. And what that means is that with every teacher lost, you're cutting a program. And when you cut a program, you are cutting students' will to come to school. The art program, the metal shop, the wood shop, music, all of these programs that will be lost will lose kids if they do not have access to them. We have to provide our core curriculum, but when people come to school so they can engage in those things they are passionate about, and the thing that will get them through that two-year program to become a productive member of our communities, then we are losing essential members of our society. And we are hurting Alaska as a whole. Now, secondly, when it comes to this, we see that we are not creating a competitive environment for teachers and teacher salaries on a national scale. As we all know, there's a national teacher crisis, and both my parents are educators. And I promise you that the moment my little brother graduates, they will leave. And the reason for that is because there is no defined benefit or any retirement guarantees for teachers. We have the worst retirement system for teachers in the nation. On top of that, with the cost of living and the affordable housing and available housing in many of our areas, it is simply not feasible for teachers to come up here, especially high-quality ones that are going to give the best education to our students, which leads to the mental health, which is my third aspect of this. When we have teachers that are continuing to – the retention rate is going constantly. People are coming in for 1 year, 2 years, and then leaving. There is no connections built. We are not able to fund mental health programs and create a stable funding solution over time. What this leads to is the loss of children's lives and their ability to be members of our communities. What we are talking about here is a start. But we need to bear in mind the fact that what we are facing is a crisis, and our schools are at a breaking point. And if we do not do something significant now, we will see effects for decades. Thank you. And I would just like to say on behalf of myself and the students and staff of the Sitka School District, thank you for your support in increasing the base student allocation and of public education in Alaska.
Well, thank you, sir. I look forward to when you have my job in the future. Is there any questions from Senator? Senator Keel.
To that direction, Madam Chair, Mr. Myers, a pleasure to see you debate again.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions from senators? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I do want to note that this meeting is being broadcasted live on Gavel to Gavel, so we have many folks who are tuning in to watch today. Next up is a school district after my own heart, Nome Public Schools. Hello. Could you please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready?
Yes. Franklin Gwinzi, good afternoon. My name is Sandy Martinson. I am the Nome Public School School Board President, and with me I have our student School Board President, Dorothy Callahan. I'd like to start just by thanking you, Masicho. Thank you very much. We really appreciate your gift of time today. I'm here to advocate for Senate Bill 52, no less than 1,000 or 1,100 increase in the BSA. Full and predictable funding is needed to cover the actual costs of providing quality education. And that applies for remote communities, but also for any community in Alaska. There's been an increase in competitive salaries, high insurance costs, employee benefits, not to forget the high cost of energy and supply costs in a remote community. At the Nome Public Schools, we have an average turnover of about 20%. We also have a disparity in longevity between different sites. At our high school, we have the longest tenured teacher at 6 years. At our elementary school, our longest tenured teacher is 32 years. By increasing the BSA, that would help us support our teacher retention and provide for the much needed costs of living in a remote community. This is a start, and as the years progress, we're hoping to increase what we can offer to our schools. I want to thank you for your support and for your gift of time and the hard work that you've put into your work every day. And then I'd like to introduce Dorothea Callahan.
Hello, board members. My name is Dorothy Callahan, and I'm the school board president for student representative at the high school and middle school level. I'm here in support of Senate Bill 52. I came here with firsthand experience in an issue that we are facing on a national scale, teacher shortage and teacher turnover. Our district is currently facing a large teacher turnover ratio, which is negatively affecting our curriculums and extra activities. For a current example, our music teacher left midway through last semester this year, leaving a huge gap in our music program. The program has fallen into the responsibility of a long-term sub hire. However, due to them not having a teaching and music degree, we can no longer fund or progress with our programs. We have unfortunately had to close choir, morph our middle and high school band classes into one, and drop out of the state music meet. I think we can all agree that keeping teachers long-term is important in developing a safe school environment. As a leaving senior, it hurts me to think that extracurriculars may be taken away from the students that come here after me. So I'm here in support of the need of increasing the BSA by $1,000 or $1,100 so that districts can effectively hire and retain quality teachers. Kwayana, for your time.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, to add to what Dorothea was saying, for our sporting events, we do have alumni and former students that come to our events and they actually play. So we don't have a choir, but we do have a community that's desperately trying to support our music programs.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there questions from legislators? Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you.
Now up, we have also a community after my own heart, the Anchorage School District. I would like to request for folks who have written testimony or speaking from written notes, if you could please email that to the Senate Education email, it will greatly help our recorders. That's senate.education@akleg.gov. senate.education@akleg.gov. Hello, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hi, my name is Rachel and I am part of the Anchorage School District and I am enrolled in Family Partnership Charter School. And some of you might not know what Family Partnership is. It is a homeschool program that is chartered through the Anchorage School District. It is a very large program, but when I enrolled 10 years ago in kindergarten, we were a very small school. I've had the wonderful opportunity to watch my school grow and advance in our programs, student population, electives, and all learning opportunities. As I grow up, I plan to attend UAA's nursing program and stay in Alaska. Family partnership has been a great way for me to advance at my own pace and be able to take classes that I wouldn't be able to take in a brick-and-mortar public school. Although my experience has been great in my school district, I am well aware that that is not the experience many have had in brick-and-mortar public schools. Due to a pandemic, an earthquake, and severe inflation, many schools have not had enough funding to meet their vast needs. There has not been good teacher retention and a lack of class variety and poor execution of existing classes. The good news is there is hope. I believe with funding to help us compensate with inflation and a properly planned out and cost-effective budget, we can significantly take a step to improve the quality of education statewide. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jesse Tyrell, and I'm a sophomore at Polaris, K-12 in Anchorage. So I joined student government in my freshman year, and it quickly became my passion. It provided me with opportunities that has led me here. I've met new friends, I've been new places. In just a few short years, I've taken interest in my local assembly, applied for auspices at my school, and applied to SAB. I hope to pursue public administration and politics professionally because of this passion. And although this story is all my own, this passion is not unique. My peers have similar passions in different fields, and these are all threatened if we do not raise the BSA. The BSA has been static since the fiscal year of 2017. I was in fourth grade when this happened. For all of my secondary career, someone's future career is built on the opportunities at risk. This isn't even touching on the correlation between lower test scores and larger class sizes. We need to raise the BSA to help keep Alaska's next generation competitive and keep their passion. Keep Alaska a state and place that encourages the future. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Danielle Lewis. I'm a 23-year veteran Anchorage School District teacher. Many people have talked to you today about what we're losing or what we've lost, and I just want to provide a different perspective. I sit in front of you today as a Tier 2 teacher who can retire very soon, but I'm very, very concerned about what I might leave behind for those students and my colleagues. I'm an East High 1996 graduate, and like many other people in this room, I received a high-quality education in the 80s and 90s in the Anchorage School District, and I think I serve as an example of what proper funding and support can get you 25 to 27 years later. And so I just want to point out that the investment is worth it, because I sit in front of you now, and I've served many for many, many years, and I'm hoping that folks behind me can do the same. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions from legislators? Thank you. Continuing on with the Anchorage School District, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Hello, my name is Shane Zalesi, and I'm currently a junior at Eagle River High School of the Anchorage School District. I would like to talk about the importance of world language and the effect that world language has had on my life. So before, whenever I didn't take any world language classes, I often found that I never had any specialty. I was always average in STEM and language arts classes, and that had a big impact on my confidence in other classes. It made me feel inadequate to other students, and I found that I had to work twice. It almost felt as though I had to work twice as hard to maintain the same grades as the students around me. That all changed whenever I took the world language classes. I found that I excelled at it, and I found a passion. I found that I loved learning about other languages, and I learned that there is so much more to a language than what I once thought. I learned culture, I learned grammar, I learned so much, and I can now tell you so much more about not only German, but English because of my German capabilities. The U.S. is very much behind in world language compared to the rest of the world on a global scale. Most of us students in Europe and Asia are able to speak two separate languages. The fact that the USA is mostly monolingual is scary. And the fact that there are thoughts of cutting the world language program to now not even allow the possibility of biliteracy is scary. The USA is already behind in this aspect. Alaska is already behind in this aspect. And losing this, especially in a place that is so culturally diverse, with military students constantly pouring in from different nationalities all around the world, is very, with all around the world, means that we need to keep this language and world language alive. Thank you, and thank you for your time.
My name is Mika Bell. I'm 15, and I'm a sophomore at Service High School in the Anchorage School District. I've been in the public school system in Anchorage my entire life. In the fiscal year of 2017, when the BSA that we have now was increased, I was a fourth grader. I'm now a 10th grade student in high school. For 7 years, education has been flat funded. And early education in elementary and middle and high school, it's about exploration and self-discovery and preparation for the future. It's about discovering our passions and deciding what we want to do so we can become contributing members of society. We can reach higher education and we can enter the workforce. I am in many extracurriculars, which extracurriculars and programs that schools offer is one way they prepare us for the future. I'm in Socratic Seminar Program at Service High School. I'm a world language student. I'm a Japanese 2 student. I'm in the Model United Nations Club. I'm in the dance club. I do school sports. I'm a varsity basketball player. I ran varsity for my cross-country team. I'm a cross-country skier. I'm also in programs outside of my school. And, of course, I'm a student government member on the Student Advisory Board, which is how I'm standing here before you today. My biggest passion out of all of this is math, and math is a core class. It's something we all have to take. I'm currently in pre-calculus with trigonometry as a sophomore. So on the usual path, I would take AP Calculus AB my junior year and then AP Calculus BC my senior year. And there have been talks of cutting AP Calculus BC, a math class, a core class, from our school. And this is an opportunity that I am so excited to have to take this class, and it's being taken away from me before my very eyes. And I am not alone. We need to stop viewing this budget crisis with a reductionist mindset. We can't look at what we can cut, because people like me, who are so excited to have all the opportunities that we do have, we're losing that. And imagine if I was a student that didn't have so many different interests. If I was a student that had a singular focus and my program was cut, why should I go to school if there's nothing for me there? Why should I try hard on standardized testing if I'm not being supported? And I've scored high above average my entire life on standardized tests. I have a cumulative GPA of 4.0, an unweighted GPA of 4.0. Why should I put in all this effort if I'm not supported? I beg you, please believe in us. If you want results, you need to invest in us. And if you invest in us, we will return that investment. Thank you for your time.
My name is Kelly Lessons. I'm a member of the Anchorage School Board, and I have a very hard act to follow. Thank you for being here today and for holding this hearing. I wanted to share that the Anchorage School Board is prepared to present a balanced budget this month in February. Tomorrow night, our budget for the 23-24 school year will be a non-action item. It's publicly available. It will become a voted-on action item on February 21st. For better or worse, we're able to balance our budget. We're able to do so through judicious use of one-time savings from $16 million that we have saved for this very rainy day from the previous fiscal year. We're also able to balance this upcoming budget through two extraordinary circumstances. One, we have remaining federal funds, which we will continue to allocate towards classroom teachers. Two, we have a substantial fund balance, which is the result, like our federal remaining federal funds, of the fact that we have hundreds of vacancies in the Anchorage school system. Normally, we will run about 150, maybe 200 vacancies across all positions in any given year, in any given month. This year, we've consistently had 400 to 450 vacancies. What does this mean? This means, you may have seen, that 12 of our schools don't have cafeteria managers. For those students who don't receive a hot lunch, they might get something that comes in a plastic sleeve like this. This particular lunch came with a shelf-stable cheese stick, a box of raisins, a bag of wheat crackers, some sunflower butter to dip it in, and a tub of tropical fruit punch. When I picked this up from an elementary school, the staff member said, well, the ones with applesauce are sometimes moldy. And when my sixth grader saw a couple of these packages on our kitchen counter, she said, oh, I'm glad you didn't bring the chicken, not chicken thing. She described that as a chicken salad that nobody would eat. What I'm saying is that our students at those 12 schools and the others, because cafeteria managers have come and gone, are not able to excel in the way we want them to excel when they're being given inadequate lunches. And for many of our students, from the majority of our school district, those students are coming from socioeconomically challenged families, disadvantaged families. Schools have become a reliable place for meals and stability. If we can't provide some of those basic foundational elements, we're not going to prepare our future leaders in the way that we can possibly, that we are capable of doing. I could tell you a lot more. I have reams and reams of data that I'd like to share with you. But I want to leave you with another story, not another sleeve of shelf-stable food. I was greeted in the produce section of one of our local grocery stores by a member of the community who substitute teaches at a high school. And she said, hey, Mrs. Lessons, I was recently teaching. A student got sick in the classroom, vomited, and I took the rest of the students outside of that classroom while we waited for a custodian to come and help take care of that mess. While we were out in the hallway, there were rats that passed by. We have 58 custodial vacancies across the school district right now. No wonder that substitute teacher struggled to find somebody to prepare the classroom adequately for her students to return that day. And it doesn't really surprise me that things are falling through the cracks. Mrs. Lewis earlier today shared with me that her classroom hasn't been vacuumed since August. Again, I ask you, how are we supposed to prepare our students for the robust future that Alaska needs, the workforce of the future, if we can't offer them the foundational staffing that they need to meet their needs? So as you contemplate your path forward, I urge you to consider not just applying a Band-Aid, but to consider what adequate funding may really look like. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions from the committee? Senator Bjorkman?
Thank you, Chair Tobin. Thank you, Ms. Lessons, for joining us today. Thank you, students, for joining us as well. You share powerful stories about what your education means to you. Ms. Lessons, if the Anchorage School District were to balance your budget and you didn't have the substantial savings that you do now, about how many teaching positions would you all need to cut in order to balance your budget without using savings?
Well, currently one of the ways we're balancing budget is by raising the pupil-to-teacher ratio by one across the K-12 system for this upcoming year. That will save the district $7.3 million, and I believe that's about 60-some-odd teaching positions. That is the efficiency that we're doing. We have tried to avoid increasing the PTR for years. We have treaded water. We have been treading water. This current year, we allocated $56.2 million of federal relief funds to maintaining classroom pupil-to-teacher ratios at steady levels. It's about 21 for kindergarten, and it goes up to just over 30 for high school, sort of everywhere in between. That $56.2 million of federal relief funds prevented a pupil-to-teacher ratio of 10. So that's a staffing ratio, not exactly a class size, but I can tell you that we have a handful of classes below what I would call an evidence-based class size, and about 99% of our elementary classrooms are above that. We have 37 classrooms that are greater than 30 students or more, 37 elementary school classrooms. We have a sixth grade classroom in South Anchorage with 35 students in it. I'm not sure how they fit that many bodies in the room. That doesn't answer your question directly, but I can tell you that We have done our best to maintain levels of classroom service, and we can't do that after the expiration of our federal funds and after we raid the piggy bank.
Very good. So, Madam Chair, if I may.
Follow up.
What's your total deficit this year?
Well, it was $68 million. That was our estimate. Savings brought that down to $48 million. And then, just this is the one that I really want. Here's a bit of a breakdown. We have $29 million in our fund balance. We have $16 million in the one-time funding from the state. And then we have about $20 million from our federal relief funds. Those are the primary factors in balancing our budget. If I may be so bold to predict our deficit for the upcoming 3 years, for FY25, that's the 24 to 25 school year, an unaltered BSA will result in a deficit of $78 to $85 million. The FY26 deficit is between $91 and $105 million. And the FY27 deficit is projected to be $104 to $125 million. There's a bit of a range there.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next up, we're going to have Mount Edgecombe High School. I just want to do a time check again. We are at 1:55. We still have a number of schools that have yet to testify, so if you could please keep your comments brief. If you have students, please prioritize their comments to this committee. Once again, I want to thank everyone who is listening in on Gavel to Gavel Online. I also want to recognize former Representative Ivan Ivan. I have seen him somewhere around. I know he keeps popping in and out. Hello, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Good morning, or good afternoon. My name is Isabella Ness, and I live in Falls Pass, but I've been attending Mount Edgecombe for about 3 years now. So my name is Bella. I just go by that for short. And I live in Falls Pass, and that's a town of about 40 people found on Unimak Island in the Aleutians East. For the past 3 years, as I just said, I've been attending Mount Edgecombe High School, which is a boarding school located in Sitka, home to around 400 students from all over Alaska. In my hometown, as well as many others, there are matters regarding substance abuse, poor education, sexual assault, and domestic violence. These issues, as well as the extreme lack of emotional support from teachers and staff, have resulted in a high rate of depression among students. In our school, personally, around 100%. I, as well as a majority of students, wholeheartedly believe that mental health should be a bigger concern, especially in Alaska. We as a state are second in the nation for highest suicide rates. I personally know of 4 people who've tried to take their own lives while attending my school, myself included. Personally, my biggest struggles include being diagnosed with bipolar II disorder, ADHD, and in other terms, manic depression. As children and young adults, we should not have to sacrifice our mental health for the sake of a decent education. With that being said, I support the Senate Bill 24, but believe that amendments should be heavily considered. I truly cannot express how life-savingly pertinent mental health is in our youth. Receiving help regarding mental health should not be considered a luxury. As teens, we are starting to transition from child to adult. The human brain does not stop developing until our mid-20s to early 30s. Someone once said, "Show me a youth without hope, and I will show you a youth without future." You cannot put a price on someone's life, especially a child. We cannot afford to lose any more students than we already have. And on behalf of the generation that is the future of planet Earth, we urge of you to give us hope for a better tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello. I'd like to thank the committee members. I am Ethan Rakuliev, coming from Mount Edgecombe, but born and raised in Anchorage. And I will keep my remarks quick. When it comes to Senate Bill 24, I am in support of it, but with amendments due to the in my opinion, weak language in its approach on defining what guidelines it may consider for mental health and mental health education. And it's for the basic reason that personally, I am a person with diagnosed depression, and nationally, as the mental health epidemic has developed, we've seen that pretty much every 27.7 seconds, someone attempts suicide, which hopefully, if this speech goes for 5 minutes, that will be 11 people who would have attempted to take their own life. These people are our daughters and our sons, our brothers and our sisters, our friends, the people that we care about. So yes, I want action. And Senate Bill 24 is a step in the right direction, but is far from what is needed to correct the crisis that we see as a state and as a nation. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions from committee members?
Thank you.
Senator Ray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for your testimony. But I would really like for you to get with my staff to talk about what amendment you would like to see in Senate Bill 24. I really would appreciate that, maybe while you're still in town. I'm in room 30.
Room 30?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. If we have time, I will definitely come by.
I would appreciate it. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Hello and welcome. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready. Just a reminder that if you have written comments, please email them to senate.education@akleg.gov. And thank you to former Representative Ivan, who has joined us and now walking out again.
Thank you, Chair Tobin, for the opportunity to address you today and the committee also. My name is Tim Doherty. I'm representing the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District in Homer, land of the Dedina, but my heart and spirit is forever embedded in the Brooks Range, land of the Inlet Inupiat tribe known as the Nunamut, where my given name was Quanuk. It means porcupine. I'm rather humbled here today after I've seen the product that has come here and discussed education with you. As I contemplated my task yesterday, I asked someone, what should I say? And they said, just tell your story. 40 years ago in August, I left Idaho, and I was going to the Anituvik Pass to be the park ranger of the new Gates of the Arctic refuge. I took a turn in Tok, ended up in the end of the road in Homer where I raised my family, and I was hired as the community school director and started employment with the Kenai Peninsula School District. I was charged with organizing and scheduling all non-school activities for the community hub and was proud of the robust climate, school climate. Our schools, not only on the Kenai, but statewide, were the crown jewels of every community. But being physically located in a school, I dealt with young people, and the principal, my mentor, saw my passion for youth. He made me a deal that I couldn't refuse. He encouraged me to get my education certification and promised he would hire me upon my completion. He needed a teacher, and he also told me I needed a retirement. Wet behind the ears at 27, I had no idea what retirement even meant. He was right. You might say that he was creating his own homegrown teacher. He hired me as a highly qualified science teacher, and the rest you may is history. I then taught middle school and coached at that level in high school for the next 30 years in our state. I had found a niche and traveled all through the state to those beautiful and well-maintained schools statewide. I was impressed with our schools, not to mention the quality of our education. Salaries attracted the best and brightest teachers from all over the country. My educator friends outside were envious of my luck and my financial stability in the land of gold. As my teaching evolved and being an experiential teacher in spirit, I gravitated out of science and social studies and realized that the real impactful teaching was the in the arenas that excited the students. Those classes were called exploratories and voc ed, and mysteriously, I never had any more discipline problems. Kids were in class on time, excited, and to this day, the only classes the ex-students remember are those. I was lucky enough to be asked to teach anything that the kids may be interested in. I taught choir, home ec, wood shop, outdoor ed, PE, and the byproduct created a school climate and a learning environment in our school unmatched. With the mandate of No Child Gets Ahead, we lost all our drawing cards. We bullied our staff and students with self-esteem destroying high-stake testing, and the climate of education dramatically began a downward spiral. I finished my career, as luck would have it, with my original goal of going back to Annatuvik Pass. I was lucky enough, not to mention honored, to be chosen as a principal at Nunamut School in the Brooks Range. I was truly in awe of the power of the people, and the place is forever etched in my spirit. I would challenge anyone's validity who says they understand Alaska education if they have not spent quality time in school, both in the road system and in the bush. My mind still wonders how Eva is doing. She would sleep in her doghouse outside on my way where I would walk to school early in the morning. And all of a sudden I would hear her cry, "Is that you, Mr. Tim?" We'd go to the school, I'd share my oatmeal, and she'd sleep on the couch outside my office until the breakfast at school was served. It was the only two meals she would eat that day. The needs of the bush and the urban districts are incredibly different, and no one size will ever fit all, and we have neglected and abused some of those in the last 20 years. Now, as an elected school board member, I have somehow found this forum to talk to you in an honest manner without any fear of retribution. My constituents elected me knowing that I would advocate for them with the energy that I taught their children. I'm the fortunate one who experienced education in Alaska how it should have been. However, my children have chosen to be educators outside of Alaska because of salary and benefits offered there. I, in good faith as a role model, cannot encourage the young people I know to pursue education career in Alaska. I'm darn mad and pretty emotional about what we have become. I am honest in saying that we have squandered incredible amounts of money in education for any new bell and whistle that some snake oil salesman promoted. It saddens me to have been around to watch the decay of something so precious and protected by our Constitution. Please don't get me wrong. $1,000 to the BSA is appreciated, but it's just a start. This problem is a multifaceted issue. We need a long-term plan to achieve educational stability, and I would gladly offer my service to help develop that plan if needed. In closing, the things that I would like to address, this is a new day, this is a new time, we have a future here. Schools that were created for the community are now in disrepair and are closed because of liability, lack of maintenance fund, and custodial defunding. Let's get them opened. My mentor would be sad if he knew the salaries and health benefits and retirement incentives were gone. Let's take care of our teachers. Fun, real-world, career interest promoting classes, they now call it CTE, have been alleviated, which neglects about 80% of our school population right now. Educate all the kids in their interest. The beautiful facilities and school climates we once had are falling in around our kids and towns. Let's repair and rebuild them. Our teacher pool is not only diminishing, we are recruiting candidates to work on work visas that cannot fully commit to being permanent residents in our towns and villages. Let's grow our own teachers. And remember, schools become safe when people, place, and funding becomes consistent. Thank you, Madam, for the opportunity to express my views on this most important issue.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Senator Bjorkman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tim, time is short here, but I just wanted to ask you, what things were we doing in education 10 and 20 years ago that are not available to students now?
Mr. I know the gentleman personally, so that's hard for me.
I think the response is through the chair, Senator Bjorkman.
We had exploratories in our middle schools. We had voc ed. Our shops were open, not only to the kids, to the community for coming in after school. We had active, not just sports programs. We had debate and drama and music, and they were all top-notch. We've lost those things. Kids no longer really want to come to school because those are the items that grip them, and they were very, very powerful. And to this day, I ran into a gal just the other day, and she said, "You know what, Mr. Doherty?" She said, "You taught me how to read a ruler." Now, that's math, but it was in a woodshop class. Does that help, Jess?
Sure does. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate your testimony.
Thank you.
Just once again, we have about 5 more school districts and limited time. So if you could please keep your comments a bit briefer than I know you would like and I would like. Next up, we have the Juneau School District. Hello, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
My name is Dee Dee Sorensen. I am a retired teacher from the Juneau School District. I am currently president of the Board of Education. And I am here today with 2 of our high school students who would like to talk to you about their experience and their what they believe is the most important thing going forward. And I submitted written testimony last week to the committee.
You guys have to rock, paper, scissors it out.
Well, she said she would go, but I can go. Hello, my name is Kylie Morris. I am a senior at Thunder Mountain High School here in Juneau, and I am in full support of Senate Bill number 52. Growing up, I lived in horrendous circumstances. I was actually in Ketchikan at the time, and me and my siblings lived in a small apartment that was both insect and rat infested. But we were happy. We were together, and we felt loved by our mother, and we were happy. Then she stopped bringing money home. She stopped collecting paychecks. We no longer had money going into our housing system, and we were evicted. We lost our home, and day after day, me and my siblings were terrified that the next day we wouldn't have food in our stomach. We wouldn't have clothes on our back. We wouldn't have water down our throats. You can see a similar issue being replicated on a wider scale in our education system. We have stopped funding what matters. Our education system needs money because our students are terrified. We are going to school not sure if we will have classes the next day. We're going to school not sure if the teachers that we have grown to love and become connected to will continue to teach us. We'll be at school the next year. We have gone to school without the support system and the mental health services, physical health services, and emotional health services that we greatly need. As legislators, you have checks on your wall for the future generations of Alaska, but we are going to be raising them. We have heard from adults, leaders, that we are the future, that we're going to help fix the climate change issue, that we're going to help lead us to social equality, that we will create a society that's beautiful beyond imagine. Yet how? I'm asking you, how can you expect us to accomplish all these fabulous things, raise these future Alaskan generations, when we are not getting the education that we need to do so? We are falling significantly behind, and as students, we deserve a well-funded education. We deserve an increase in our BSA. Therefore, due to all these reasons, I truly and wholeheartedly hope and urge you to pass Senate Bill number 52. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Joelle Corpus. Sorry. Okay. I am Joelle Corpus, a full-time senior at June Douglas High School, Ida-Akashit. I'm also a full-time barista at Heritage and academic decathlon decathlete, the vice president of the Alaska Association of Student Government, and the ASB parliamentarian for my school. Base student allocation has not increased since 2017. As mentioned before by my other advocates, there is a staggering amount of problems that are being addressed with no answer, but we can't do it without the proper funds. I feel as though my number of opportunities are different than when six of my eight siblings attended Juno Douglas High School. Programs are being cut, support systems for students are not there, teachers are gone, and for the teachers that could stay, they're getting more students than they could handle. And I know that this isn't a local issue of schools being underfunded. As mentioned, I am part of the Alaska Association of Student Governments, and hear the complaints about programs being cut and being underfunded from the students themselves. Students have lost interest in attending a school that doesn't provide what we all need and want. So please fund our future better, because what we have is not enough, and pass Senate Bill 52. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee?
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll have Unalaska City School District. Hello. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
I'm Danielle Williams. I'm from the Unalaska City School District. I was born and raised in Metlakatla, Alaska. Hold on. I'm not really good at this public speaking. This is the first time that I've ever done this, so I apologize. And I'd like to thank you guys, first of all, for hearing us all out today. I just wanted to bring a couple of costs that we have. A one-way flight from Dutch Harbor to Anchorage is anywhere from $675 to $900. We have a limited amount of housing provided for our teachers, and our island itself has a shortage of rentals. In the last 2 years, our insurance has increased by approximately $483,000, and our energy has increased by about $283,000. After a $213,000 supplemental increase outside of the BSA last year, we are left with about $553,000 additional that was needed to cover the fixed cost of energy and insurance. We must still pay for salary increases, increased shipping and supply costs, and more. We estimate $800,000 simply to cover insurance and energy costs in fiscal year 24. Without increasing the BSA, this means classrooms are affected when we need funds the most to meet the needs of students and retain qualified staff. All of this adds up to the worry that we won't be able to keep teachers, faculty, and family in Unalaska. We have been fortunate up until now when it comes to funding classrooms and staff without worrying about energy and insurance. Increasing the BSA will help all schools in Alaska focus on student achievement without worrying about cutting the programs or people that are vital to our children's future. That's all I have.
Well, that was wonderful. Thank you. Any questions from the committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next up, we have the Chatham School District. Thank you. If you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready.
Yak A. Isatini Gunaschich for having this hearing. My name is Ralph Watkins. I'm the superintendent for the Chatham School District. This is my 10th year as an Alaska educator. I came to Alaska straight out of Compton, and I'm very pleased to be here. When I moved to Alaska 10 years ago, I moved with my wife, my three children, and our two dogs. And it's been just a marvelous experience. One thing I wanted to make sure when I came to Alaska as an administrator is that my children did not suffer from being in schools in Alaska. I wanted to make sure that the schools that my children attended were excellent, that they were comparable to any school in any place in the United States. And I worked hard as a school administrator in hiring quality teachers and just doing whatever it took to make sure that that was their experience. I'm happy to say that my two children that have graduated from schools in Alaska are doing very well. My daughter's a student here in Juneau at UAS. My son was a student here in UAS. Unfortunately, he was in a car accident here in Juneau 2 years ago and suffered a traumatic brain injury, which is why I'm want to speak on Senate Bill 56, which is the bill that realigns how the performance scholarship is used. I won't belabor the Senate Bill 52 that everyone is speaking about. I totally support that 100%. But this bill, I don't want it to go unspoken of, because The Alaska Performance Scholarship is an important tool to help our students, both Alaska Native and non-Alaska Native students, have access to college and vocational training. Unfortunately, students have a limited time in which they can use those funds. This bill proposes extending that time from 4 years to 6 years. And for my son, who was our valedictorian and a recipient of the Alaska Performance Scholarship, it would make his access as he recovers from his traumatic brain injury. It would keep those funds available to him. And a lot of times our students, when they first come out of high school, they're not always ready. Sometimes they start and they stop and they start and they stop and they stop and then they start. And just having those funds available would just be amazing while they develop and start to grow into the persons, into the humans that they're going to be. Our schools in Alaska are amazing, and the students that testified today are just a testament to the great work that's going on in our state. And as a Alaska resident, as a person who has been serving in Alaska for the last 10 years, I just want to say that I support the work that this body is doing and the efforts that the principals and administrators and teachers and custodians and paraprofessional staffs are all doing to ensure that our students have a quality education in Alaska that's comparable to any education anywhere USA. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions from the committee? Thank you, sir.
Ganesh.
Next up, we have the Chugach School District. And just a quick time check, we have about 10 more minutes. Going once. They unfortunately had to leave, so we'll move on to the Upiat School District. We'll move on one more time and we'll come back to those two. We also have the Huna School District. Welcome back. Hello and welcome. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony when you are ready. Oh, you can have water on the table, yes.
We're from the Upiat School District located above Bethel, three villages consisting of Aketchok, Akiak, and Tuliksak. And I would like to make comments on, I hope I'm right, sometimes supporting Senate Bill 52. And to my left is Moses Owens, way at the end. I'm on the Board of Education for the school district, and a young lady's student from the village of Tuliksak. And I think she'll do a little comment, but she's kind of bashful, and it's kind of hard when you come from two cultures, one English and one Yupa. So bear with us. We're going to do English is our second language. We'll do our best. I'll open it with Senate Bill 52, the increase of base student allocation process to add a few dollars more to the operations of our school. Our area travel system is riverboats in the summertime, snow machines, an airplane in wintertime, and in between it's kind of hard to travel and weather dependent. We're a little different from the road system, and our economy sometimes is pretty high due to that. being out in rural areas. A little bit more expensive, living in gasoline, diesel. And Mr. Owen will allude to that, will speak to that issue. I'll mention the REEDS Act, and what I just know that it'll require a lot mandates. We receive our regular funding and we try to put it together best as we can to fit all our needs from utilities, fuel, all across the board, school lunch program, and a lot of them come to us by barge. Fuel is quite expensive out there. And this REEDS Act, as I understand, will require some, I call them hidden costs. And somebody said they were mandates that would require more administration to, and while we're teaching it. And some of our teachers, and I'll say this, my own personal, Ivan's comment is that some of them may are, I think, overworked with all the, besides teaching small children in the school system, and given additional requirements that will take away that time away from teaching kids and the students. That's, I fear that happening. Hopefully we'll be ready to, that you will consider to look at it and how you can help us make the education of the reject a little bit more easier on us and our kids and teachers and faculty or staff that has got to do good financial management, administration management, and working with communities. We're going to have to enlist help from our grandparents and parents and some bad uncles that teach their ways to make our students learn. So we'll need that help any way we can. A few more dollars, of course, will not hurt for whatever you can come up with to appropriate. And it's all up to you. And we can't tell you what to do whatsoever. I've been down here 6 years, way back in the 90s, from 90s to 98. And I appreciate your service and what you do for us all across. And I thank you for what you're doing to hear us out and see if we can all work together to deliver this education to the kids in school. And that's what make us come down to express. I talk too much sometime, and I hope I... And teacher retention is related to that overworking of students, teachers in classrooms. But the mandates, I hope you understand what I'm saying. We got to talk to our finance people, get ready to somehow deal with that, as we always do in the past, to do what we can to help ourselves and comply with all the regulations that come before us. So I'll just make final comments later on, and thank you for this opportunity. Mr. Owen? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me? Sorry. Okay. Hello, my name is Jamie Aline. I am a student at Talksack School, and I'm here to represent Talksack students and the community. I wasn't really prepared for all of this, so just wanted to introduce myself and thank you for your time.
Yeah. Mr. Owen?
Thank you. I'm Moses Owen. I'm the chairman for the UPH School District presently. But I always make it a point that we have a leader in our group, and some of you may recognize him, Representative Ivan Ivan. And we're fortunate to have him to guide us in our travels like this on behalf of our children in our school district. And I'm from Akiak. We serve three communities, Tuxak, Akiak, and Akichuk. We're a small school, and when we say rural school, it's much different than what you see here. And the cost of living, as you know, has gone up within the last couple of years, and especially this year. And just to give you some information on what money is doing to us in our district, this past fall we ordered 90,000 gallons just to have lights in the community. And it cost the community $436,000 just for 90,000 gallons just to have our lights. And that doesn't include fueling for each home that use diesel fuel. And just think what that does to our school district too. They have to use money in order to light the schools, in order to warm the schools for the children. And we certainly appreciate the bill that's coming out that hopefully will give us some relief in these areas that are much needed in our communities. The other one that affects us budget-wise is retaining and recruiting teachers, qualified teachers. And because we don't have the money to accommodate them with raises and their cost of living, you know, we lose some qualified teachers at some point when they see the same job in another district that pays more. They're going to take that, and we can't stop them. So we have to be compatible with those other communities and other school districts that have more money. So we're trying to keep up with that, with the mind of teaching, making sure that our children are taught, and they get the right teaching with the rest of the state and with the rest of the nation, and. It always scares me when I see statistics that Alaska has the lowest salaried teachers in the nation. And that's why we lose so many good teachers. They move to other states or other districts where they can get their money and earn good money. In doing that, we want to support them. We do the best we can. And this might be something that you've heard before, but the living conditions also. Teacher housing is also what affects retaining and recruiting our teachers. So those are some of the needs that we have. And right now, I live in Akiak, and from the hub area in our district there, Bethel, is our hub area that provides us pretty much with our transportation during winter months. I live 19 miles, air miles, from Bethel. And if I wanted to go from Akiak to Bethel, one way is $460 by charter. And just imagine what that does to our school. When they want to participate in basketball activities, in even just within our district there, one plane load of six passenger plane, they cost them $460 one way, and they double that on a round trip. And it doesn't take one plane to move students, as you're aware of. So those are some of the things that we look at. And we appreciate the people that have introduced this bill to raise our per capita or per student funding. We certainly appreciate that. And I thank you for listening to our needs. And we always appreciate that. We got some good information from, we visited last year. We wanted to put on in our curriculum our subsistence calendar. And we got that through, and we weren't aware of this a couple of days ago, but our superintendent told us that, yes, in fact, we got your authorization to do that again, which is a plus for us. We live following the seasons in our in my area because of transportation needs and the availability of, you know, groceries and stuff like that, the cost of freight and everything. We pretty much live off the land, and our communities do that, still practice that. And our children do that, too, along with that their subsistence calendar, which is a plus for them. And it's a positive thing for our community and for our school district. I thank you very much for listening, and I hope you guys have a good day. Koyana, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for your testimony. We are over time, and we do have one last testifying group. I know some committee members will have to leave, but I apologize that we can't have you to speak more on your issues. We would like to invite Huna up, who will close us out for the rest of this opportunity to testify before the committee. Thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Thank you. After this last testifier, we will be gaveling out. Just so folks know and have this on their mind, we will be taking public testimony on Senate Bill 52 on Wednesday. And then on Friday, we will be hearing Senate Bill 14 and Senate Bill 15. Hi, if you could please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Hello, my name is Jamie Erickson. I'm from Hoonah, Alaska. I'm on my second term on the Hoonah City School Board, and I am a single parent of a 12-year-old boy in the seventh grade. Hoonah is a great place to live and grow up. I grew up there myself. Hoonah for a long time had a great group of teachers, a full staff that taught together for years. In fact, when I was in school, our shortest tenured teacher was 15 years. They were my teachers. Hoonah was considered one of the top small schools here in Southeast, and not so much anymore. Now we are beyond short-staffed, we are short custodians, substitutes, paraprofessionals, and certified teachers. Currently, we are short 5 certified teachers. We are anticipating losing 4 more. At full staff, we have 11. We are losing students due to the lack of teachers, due to lack of activities, enrichment classes, and necessary resources such as counselors. Supporting HB 52 and increasing the BSA would mean more funds to fill our gap of teachers. It would equal less burnout for our teachers due to covering areas or classes that our staff was not hired to do. Teachers could focus on their prep time, not using that time to cover other classes or other areas of the school they weren't hired to do. It would help sustain programs that are grant-funded, such as our music program. It could bring back classes that we no longer have, like our auto shop that is fully functional, but we don't have it because we have no funds for it. Our wood shop that has no funds. Increased hire would alleviate the workload and increase direct instruction, which is highly needed, rather than online courses. It would equal better education quality and potentially higher test scores when we have direct instruction. Teacher retention and recruitment is at the top of our list. Investing in teacher housing will help stop the revolving door that Hoonah has had year after year. We have no problem getting people to like, love, and want to live in Hoonah. We simply don't have housing stability for them. They are seasonal because the people who own these houses that they rent are seasonal. They want their house in May. They have to be out by August. That is not sufficient for our teachers. The ever-revolving door is a barrier for our students to be able to create and maintain a bonding relationship with their teachers. Teachers and staff and all the students should have a bonding relationship. It also inhibits the bond the staff should have with other staff, and therefore interrupting the curriculum that we're trying to keep on cycle. Student mental health and wellness and safety is without question should be supported. Just remember where Alaska's stats are when it comes to these topics. Alaska is at the top. Our community has had a lot of great loss over the last couple of years. Most recently, some very young students have lost their parents. And we don't have the staff and resources that is critical to getting these students through such horrific losses. That is unacceptable and a great disservice to them. Along with providing pathways to teachers' certificates, Alaska should do the same with mental health. We need guidance counselors, drug counselors, mental health counselors. And most recently, at our last school board meeting, one of our student representatives, who I wish could be here, came to us and expressed their concern of the bullying that happens in our school. And I wish we had somebody on site available every day to help these kids go through these situations. Please support these bills, as they are so vital to our teachers to build and sustain our students and our future. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to extend my deepest appreciation to everyone who testified today. As I often say, and in reflection of one of my mentors, your words are much more powerful than mine. So thank you so much for sharing your stories and your insight into what we should be doing to help support our schools and our students. Our regularly scheduled meetings will be back in the Belts Room starting on Wednesday, where we'll be talking about SB 52, the base student allocation increase, and Senate Bill 14, which is an incentive bill for returning retired teachers back into the schools. That will start at 3:30 p.m. If there's no other business today, I will conclude our meeting at 2:41 p.m.